Today on 4CA. John McKenzie, 1-300-872-911.
I mentioned this amazing woman earlier on. I think people will identify with just had a gutful of these little creeps. And it reads, a Bentley Park mum has used a minivan to ram a fleeing car full of four alleged juvenile car thieves in an attempted citizen's arrest on a quiet suburban street. I'll cut to the chase here. Natasha Baddock was her name, is her name. And she told of her determination to, quote, make a stand for her Bentley Park street in the face of escalating crime. When she noticed a small car, four boys acting suspiciously, etc. I won't go on with the details, but she said, instead of retreating in the face of this threat, she fought back. She said, quote, I just put the foot on the accelerator. I drove that car backwards so they couldn't drive off. They'd already smashed my car, so they couldn't go forward. They couldn't run, but run they did, with the alleged thieves escaping on foot. The incident was reported to police, who are yet to make any arrests. Well, most people would say, well, what point in making the arrest, because they're recycled in a very short period of time in the juvenile courts by the magistrates there, which is very frustrating. Now, in this article it reads, lovely lady, Natasha Baddock, I was just put in a position because of the lack of enforcement. Anyway, it goes on to read, it's a sentiment that's increasing across the city, with other residents taking a greater interest in local crime and safety. Following a string of attacks and break-ins targeting the elderly, local crime advocate Paul Drabble is creating a citizens' force, acting as a buddy system for the vulnerable and foot soldiers also for the police. This sort of thing isn't the first. It's been done some years ago. It was a little controversial because people bring this term vigilante into it. The idea was to get out there into streets where people are feeling particularly vulnerable, that are being targeted by these little criminal children, and provide some sort of security, basically their presence being a deterrent for these little creeps and sending them maybe to another street. But I know that's not the outcome that we're all looking for. But some people are particularly afraid at night, with very good reason. And I think this could be a very worthwhile idea. Paul's on the line. He's somewhere. There he is. The local anti-crime advocate, Paul Drabble. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, John.
Paul, tell me about the response you're getting from people out there in the suburbs.
Well, the thing is, it's now organic. People are starting to realise that the police, the politicians and the judiciary can't help us in this. So what I brought up was the fact that we don't actually, in the meeting, we don't need to organise that sort of response. People are organically now taking control of when crime's happening to them and starting to deal with it at a different level, which is really sad because, you know, we're only talking 78 kids who, if we remove those 78 kids, most of it settles down. But when you've got a society where the police come out and protect the criminals and say, hey, if you act against them, you'll get in trouble, and you've already got a judiciary and a politician protecting the criminals, where is society going? You have to really, community first is not in that thinking. Whereas police, we used to have a police force that sided with community first. I would say to the head of police here, maybe he needs to tell his masters, who are telling him to get out in the media and tell the community that they will get in trouble for doing what this lady did the other day, or getting involved in a criminal situation and trying to shut it down, that he may tell his masters to come out and tell us that, because the police have done a great job and we have supported them as a community all the way through.
Yeah.
But they haven't got the personnel now to deal with it. They ran their operation last weekend. Monday, Tuesday, crime drops off. Wednesday, we're back to normal. The court had its day on Tuesday. Everybody's back out.
God.
Where do we go? As a community, what do we have to do to get the Healy's, the Pitts and the Crawfords to deal with this problem?
Now, can I ask you about precedents? Because something like this, you would have been around, you've been around for years and years, you would remember something like this was introduced years ago, but it gradually, or it may have even suddenly dissipated. What happened? Why wasn't it continued, if you know the effort that I'm talking about some years ago?
I believe police pressure on the people that ran it was put... Pressure was put on the police, and they say there's no interference by politicians to shut it down. It's as simple as that. That's what happened to it. And here we go again. Well, this time, you know, and the police have not even, I've given them my number, they know where I am.
Yeah.
They have not even talked to me about what we can do.
Okay.
You know, where does the community go next? The police force is our front line. They're there to defend us in against crime. But even now, after what the head of police said in Cairns, they're saying that if we defend ourselves, we're going to get in trouble. That is just unacceptable to this society that is fighting. You know, we're not only talking stolen cars, Sean. You know, you've got Earlville Shopping Centre, you've got Mount Sheridan Shopping Centre that's an issue with kids. You've got kids blatantly walking around Earlville Shopping Centre with hoodies on, covered face, carrying knives.
Really?
Where are we going?
God.
And these all come out of one house. That group comes out of one house in White Rock, which is they're just about, Housing Commissioner have just moved them and they got another house. When we have a housing crisis, Housing Commission are rehousing criminals out of houses that police visit sometimes 5 or 6 times a day.
No.
So the whole thing is, it just looks frustrating when you look at, you know, three elderly people are attacked in our society, and Michael Healy, Curtis Pitt, and Craig Crawford think that's acceptable because they haven't spoken out about it. They have not done anything about it. You know, where do we go? They're our political leaders, but they're not putting community first. They're putting their self-interest first.
Now, let me ask you this, Paul, because obviously you can't be doing this yourself or with a tiny handful. I mean, in the first iteration some years ago, there was a significant number. I can't remember how many, but I think it was dozens that were available to go at. If there was a phone call saying, I'm feeling threatened, there's people in my street, whatever, they'd turn up. How will you recruit your, if you like, numbers, your supporters to help you out in this quest?
You don't have to recruit, John. You just make it known that plenty of people are messaging me on Facebook, texting me, saying, yep, we need to do something. How do we do it? We need a leader. Because that's all it is society needs some leaders who are willing to step up and go, okay, this is the edge here of the cliff.
Yes.
We need to not go over it. We're already on the edge of the cliff of a society where crime is acceptable to this level.
Yes. Yes.
That is an unacceptable place to be.
Yeah.
And the politicians need to understand the community doesn't want to be here at this point where we have 5 kids running through bungalow, jumping fences willy-nilly and just trying doors until they get one that opens.
Yeah.
You know, we've had people... I know someone who was asleep on their couch. The door was locked. They've jimmied the door, taken her purse off the side of her, gone out, gone around the front, taken the car. House was locked.
Wow.
A lot of cases, the house is locked. You see videos online of kids jimmying doors, trying to jimmy doors. They have tools. It's legal, obviously. The police have said it's legal for them to carry these tools to commit a crime.
All right, Paul. Well, you've spoken very powerfully on this matter. There may be people wanting to contact you now. I presume, do you have a Facebook page?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's open. Everybody can, you know, just DM, direct message me. I'll answer. Yeah. You know, we just keep working. We can only chip away at this, John. There's no one silver bullet. There is just no one silver bullet. We just got to keep chipping away until the politicians realise that, you know, they have to change.
Yeah.
They're the only ones that can fix the problem. Mm. We as a community can only defend ourselves. And, you know, we have a cyclone plan. We have a flood plan. It's at the point in Cairns where you actually need a home invasion plan.
Mm.
To keep yourself safe, check your doors every night. Have I got things in here that if someone enters, I can protect myself with?
Yeah.
A broom is a good option.
Mm.
Keeps people distance. But, you know, our most vulnerable are the ones they're targeting.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, do you have an air horn? Get an air horn from Bunnings. If you've got kids in the street, fire it off.
Mm.
These are the little things that physically we can do to challenge and change the way things are going.
Yeah.
So, you know, an air horn will attract a lot of attention.
Mm.
If your neighbours know it's going off, they'll come out.
Mm.
You know, it's numbers. It's a numbers game.
All right, Paul, look, I really appreciate what you've had to say on the program today. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
It's Paul Drabble. He's the local anti-crime advocate.